Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Show 114, Mapping Informal Employee Networks to Build Better Organisations. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social media HR consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on digital and social media. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, and we're widely supported across the UK involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the orange button in the top right to join in and get our newsletters and our events newsletters when they come out on a fairly infrequent basis. If you tweet, then please share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S, to join the conversation. And come and join in on our LinkedIn groups. And also we have a Yammer network, which if you go to engageforsuccess.org/Yammer, then you can request to join the network. All the social media links are on the homepage of our website under the Connect with Us on the right-hand side. And if you're enjoying the shows, please take the time to go to our iTunes profile and give us a rating. So today I'm interviewing Ondrej Fijek, co-founder and head of research at Maven 7, who are a company who produce products based on social network analysis. I met one of Ondrej's team at the HR Tech Conference a few weeks ago, and he introduced us. I wasn't really sure what to expect when I had a look at the company website and delved a bit into what they do. It all looked very technical to me. Having said that, I've had a conversation with Ondrej in preparation for today, and I'm really excited to have him on the show to share some of the work that they're doing to build strong teams, better manage change and improve engagement within organisations from quite a different perspective to how we usually talk about such things on the show, but one that really complements. So, welcome, Ondrej.
Hi, thank you, and happy to be here.
Really glad to have you with us. We said I think we've got a bit of a delay on here, so I'll apologise now if I end up talking over you. So perhaps you could start by introducing yourself and telling us a bit more about what you do and about Maven 7.
Yeah, so we basically set up Maven 7 back in 2009. But about my background, I have a background in work and organizational psychology, and I have done all types of HR-related consultation and research for more than 15 years now, ranging from at the beginning I was more involved in recruitment and selection, and then I moved towards training and development. I got trained in a special methodology called psychodrama, which is sort of group therapy, but also good for internal training and development objectives. Then I moved towards more of the HR research-related area, focusing on work-related stress and also engagement and motivation at work, where I conducted all sorts of research for multinational companies. And this is how I actually got connected with some social networks and social network analysis, because there was a project I used to work for an organizational development agency, and there was an insurance company, and they were really interested in how their sales team and how their employees within their sales teams are actually collaborating, supporting each other, sharing knowledge. And we had a very basic tool for mapping connections between them. But at a certain point, there was a very strong limitation to this application. On the other hand, I was so much involved in the whole topic, I really got tangled in these networks. So I took home these images of these dots, which are connected with lines, which are basically the networks. And I took it home to one of our family lunches on one Sunday afternoon. And my father saw that I was looking at networks, and he just said, that's interesting. We are, you know, just publishing a scientific paper in Nature, one of the most prominent scientific journals, about networks and how to identify overlapping communities in large communities. So I was like, that's amazing. I have problems with not being able to analyze communities with this network approach, and actually my father is working on how to do this. So it all just connected very quickly, and we decided to set up a company around this activity. So this was back in 2009, and the company Maven 7 is focusing on the business applications of social network analysis. We have two separate product lines analyzing the two most important communities of businesses. OrgMapper maps internal connections within a company, identifying the key influencers, critical connections between functions, locations, hierarchy levels, and also pinpointing barriers to information flow and possible synergies between employees. And the other product line is Dictio Labs, that's the external focus, which helps to boost marketing campaigns by identifying key opinion leaders within a given community, in social media, in the online communities, and also looking into what they're actually interested in, what they're talking about. So once you're starting a campaign, you know who to reach out to, who to involve, and what are the topics that you should be also mentioning in your campaigns. One other area that we are currently focusing and constantly developing is the log file analytics-based organizational mapping. So just to translate that, we basically collect a whole lot of data from the internal electronic systems of an organization, like emails. So any digital footprints, such as emails, telephone log files, information from the ERP system, to map out how the different functions, locations, teams are connected, communicating with each other, which are the most overloaded, where are the least efficient communication links between these functions.
Wow. So in its simplest term, how would you describe what social network analysis is? I mean, you've obviously started to do that with the introduction.
Yeah, so social network analysis is about understanding a community, which can be really made up of not only people, it can be connections between companies, it can be connections between locations. The main point is that there should be some kind of entities that have certain attributes. And also there should be connections which are called edges, connecting these entities. And once you draw up these entities and connect them to these lines or edges, you get a really nice image of a network, which, in some cases resembles like a metro or underground map, because it has actually the same function. It helps to navigate through your organization, helps you to understand a really, really complex system, because every organization is really complex, and organizations nowadays are becoming even more complex. So by trying to simplify it, focusing on the entities, focusing on the communication and connections between them, you can somehow understand and simplify this complexity with all the connections between job roles, hierarchy levels, teams, projects. You get a much clearer map and understanding of where are the changing points, how you can get from one station to the other, one function to the other? Where are the missing links or missing lines where you should be building new communication channels or setting up meetings between the different teams? Or where are the what happens if a certain line falls out because there's some kind of technical problem? Where will people be turning to, and how you can make this whole system more efficient? So it gives you social network analysis is about understanding communities through mapping the connections between the individuals or the entities within this group, and understanding the underlying dynamics of how these entities are grouped, where are the most efficient or least efficient links, who are the key influencers or most critical nodes in this network, and of course how you can control or predict what is going to happen in this community.
I guess some of the best managers and leaders out there do some of this stuff themselves intuitively, but it's really interesting to see it on the macro level, especially when you're talking about organizations with hundreds, maybe thousands of employees. No one person is going to be able to do this in their head, I guess. How is this useful? How are people using it within organizations?
Yes, I think one of the most exciting points is that we have actually done projects ranging from 6 member teams, such as a top management team, to 20,000 employees within a larger organization. And even for a small group size, what comes out from these network maps is not something that is a great surprise. So it's not like, oh, I didn't know that, my sales manager is not communicating enough with the marketing manager. It's more about bringing something, highlighting something that is really crucial for the performance of the whole organization, and putting it on the table, having to talk about it, having to solve some kind of problem that might be just somewhere in the team, but they're not really talking about it because it's a human aspect. It's for managers, and sometimes for managers with engineering background or any other scientific or economic background, they're used to data. And if HR manager is talking about there's not enough cohesion in the group, or the group atmosphere is not really really good, and communication is not really good, they cannot really deal with it because it's not in their vocabulary. They don't really know what that means. But once you show a really precise map of communication, then they really get the point. For instance, there was a head of IT at a bank, and he was a good leader, but he was not the real people manager type. And he saw the network of his own people in this social network map, and he smiled and he said, "People as electronic circuits." So it looks like an electronic circuit to him, and then he already saw that, for instance, he was not connected with his own middle management members, and he said, okay, I need to somehow improve that communication and build connections to them, because they were a very strong clique, so they were very strongly communicating within each other, but they were not connecting with the head of IT. So in some cases, what comes out is for the smaller group is not a surprise. On the other hand, as you start to scale up, of course, for, as you said, like even for a 50, 60, 100 employee organization, there will be a lot of surprises that managers won't really be able to see, because in some cases they are focused externally, or there are some really high performers who are just doing their jobs, connecting with people in the organization. Maybe they're not trying to be that visible towards their manager, or it's just something about their personality that is not showing up in other forms. But the main applications that we have used org mapper for, and we have already built separate sub-products for, is first of all change management, where the main focus is identifying who are the key influencers who the management really has to involve in any kind of change initiative to foster the whole change process, and also to help to spread the word on what is going to happen, why is there a new SAP system or coming in, or you know, if they're moving to a new office, why are they doing that, and so on. I can even, you know, share an interesting case. I was talking with an HR director recently, and she told me that they sent out two newsletters in two separate times. First one was about moving to a new office, so the whole company and the organization was moving to a new office. And in 2 weeks, they sent out the next newsletter, which was saying that they're going to send away 20 employees, so they're going to be layoffs. And what happened is that people started to combine these two pieces of information and came to the conclusion that probably the management was made a mistake and they rented an office which is too small, and that's why they have to fire 20 people. And actually there was no connection between these two pieces of information. And the main message from this is, once things are changing around us, you know, that makes us become, you know, sometimes first deny the change or become frustrated or you know, sad about what am I going to lose from this whole change process. And at the end of the day, you start turning to people who you trust will deliver credible information to you. So your informal connections, you're asking them, have you heard about this? What is going to happen? Why are we moving? And if they're not clear about what's going to happen and they don't have the right information and they didn't have the opportunity to ask about these, then there will be tons of gossips going on and sending out additional newsletters or doing presentations or intranet videos by the CEO will just spark additional gossips with more misunderstandings. So what we're saying is, you know, you should identify the hubs or these key opinion leaders in your organizations and involve them during these change processes, because that's when you will have more engaged people who will be spreading the word to their colleagues and being able to explain to them the whole change process. Mm. On the other hand, we have Team Mapper for mapping smaller teams. As I said, for instance, like top management team or a project team, where we're really looking deeply into, you know, how who's connected with whom, how frequently they're communicating, what is the efficiency of their communication, how strongly are they trusting each other, how is the knowledge sharing taking place, who's influencing decisions. So it's a really a deep analysis of a team. Then we have Knowledge Mapper, which is focused on knowledge sharing. So first of all, we identify the different areas of so the knowledge assets basically within the organization. Then we look for who are the key experts in these knowledge assets, and then we map how accessible these people are to others within the organization. So are people actually using these people? Are they going to them for advice, or are they on the periphery and not sharing any of their expertise with others? And the fifth one is, or the fourth one is about more about cross-department collaboration between functions, teams, like how is sales, marketing, communicating, how is the back office and the front end, you know, connected, where you should be building more communication channels or change something in the process or move them into the same office. And the last one is Talent Mapper, which is about identifying the high potentials in the organizations, but according to the nomination of the lowest hierarchy level, so the employee level, where people are highly connected, to add information to the management for succession planning, who are the ones that they might be missing if they are only look at the KPIs or if they only look at performance indicator numbers of any other tools. So basically, these are the main applications.
Yeah. So thinking about the information that you're able to provide to the managers about these informal networks, what response do you get from them? Obviously, as you've already said, the people who like data and are perhaps less, maybe their soft skills are not so developed, like the data. What about the people who think that they sort of understand how the organization works and then it's different when you present the data back? Do you have any sort of challenges there with those managers?
Yeah, of course, you know, in some cases there might be a resistance towards the results, as in the case of any other research. But once they see that some of the connections that they also believe are there are confirmed, then they see that it actually works really well. Then they see that there might be some surprises that they didn't even think of. But together, it's very important to always have the processing of these network maps together in a team, like management team or people who are working together, because they can add these additional information. Like maybe someone says that, no, I don't believe that there isn't any connection between sales and marketing. I mean, I told them to communicate, you know, daily or exchange these contacts between each other and so on. On the other hand, if somebody is there from the other team, then he might say, of course, you know, we are not sharing information with you because our bonus system is built in a way that if you share information with you, then you guys will get the bonus and it's not us who's going to profit from it. And then they can already understand why there's the missing link between the two teams. So they can that's why we use the Metro Map example, because what we are delivering is a map that they have to fill in with information and qualitative information. And it sparks a lot of great discussions. Some people will say that, you know, we don't need this connection here, or they say that it's good that a certain function is on the periphery because, you know, other people don't really need to connect with that. Other people might argue and say, no, we really need to connect, you know, this part of the organization with this other team because that will deliver a lot of value to the clients. So it's about showing something that was hidden before, which might sometimes bring in some resistance. On the other hand, if you work together in a group, then probably everyone will share their experience and emotions about these networks, which will spark really good conversations.
Yeah. And I guess if you're bearing this stuff in mind when you're looking at change and communication within an organization, then in some ways you're not going to end up doing a lot of work arranging things like, you know, town hall meetings and a certain series of newsletters and so on, if you know that in order to make it stick, you really need to go to those areas of influence and think differently about how you communicate. You know, you may still have your town hall, you might still have a newsletter, but maybe you'll sort of put your energies more clearly on influencing the influencers rather than spending too much time doing the sort of formal top-line stuff that you would normally do.
Yeah, we are not saying that you should, you know, change what you're doing. I mean, don't let go of the formal part of the communication, because people do need data and information from these channels. On the other hand, if they don't have the opportunity to really understand what's behind that change, why we're doing this, they cannot ask any questions, then they will start to combine things. And this is why it's good to have your key influencers on board with you, and having them be on your side and involving them. Maybe even they have a good idea. So in one case, we worked for an energy firm with 4,000 employees, and we identified the key influencers because they really wanted to make the organization more cost efficient. And there was a project coming out from where the influencers explained to the management how, when the physical employees were going out to fix some of the pipelines, the routes that they were going on were not really well optimized, so they suggested a new way of organizing these routes. And at the end of the whole process, next year they had like 10% drop in the costs related to the expenditures of these travels.
By just sort of involving and getting the connectors and the sort of centers of influence involved.
Yeah, so even if, you know, there are two possibilities. Either the key influencer is positive and really committed, engaged towards the organization, then you will probably have great ideas on how he or she sees that you should be refining a change process, who has to involve, and so on. On the other hand, if you have a key influencer who is demotivated and not really engaged with the organization, then you can really understand why that person is not really committed. And if you can change the mindset of that person, of course, there's a much higher probability that he or she is not going to be spreading the gossips in his huge network.
Yes, yeah. So we're just coming into the last couple of minutes of the show. Just very briefly, how do you actually carry the surveys or the work out what you're doing from this? I think you use a survey, and you've talked about looking at digital footprints and so on. How do you get this information?
Yeah, so we have two ways of collecting data. First, in OrgMapper, we have an online questionnaire tool where you just select what type of project you want to do. Is it a change management, knowledge management, or team building exercise? And it automatically includes a questionnaire according to this focus. And once the employees fill out a very easy to answer questionnaire, such as who do you turn to advice for a certain type of question, or who do you have to communicate with the most in order to get your job done, they can select from names in a drop down list. So they can select four individuals from their team or their organization. And once they answer the questionnaire, the report is automatically generated with the networks and some statistics. The other type of way to collect data on the connections is through, as you also mentioned, electronic footprints, such as emailing behavior or telephone calls or any other ERP system, in which case we don't analyze. We don't look at the identity of the people, so it's totally anonymous. We just want to look at how the different functions or locations or hierarchy levels are communicating between each other. And, of course, we don't analyze the text of the emails as well.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, thank you it's been really interesting thinking about how to sort of influence and build teams and manage change and so on within organisations in a different way with the social network analysis. So thank you, Andras, for joining us.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you.
So next week I'm going to be interviewing Karen Donaghy, who's our Engage for Success Knowledge Director, about facilitating the sharing of experience and knowledge within the Engage for Success movement. So I will speak to you next week.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.